Blog Talk Radio.
The HD View.
Happy Tuesday, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the HD View. Your hosts tonight are Melissa Biliardi, that's me, and James Valvano in Florida. We are celebrating our international advocates tonight. Please tell all your colleagues, friends, and family about Help for HD Radio, and click follow on our show page to get email reminders of upcoming episodes. Thank you, 80,000-plus listeners, for tuning in. Keeps growing every week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our incredible special guest tonight is Matt Ward from Nottingham. Actually, his wife, Marie, is with us tonight, too, which is so exciting. They're from the UK. Matt is known across our international Huntington's community for his outstanding advocacy and his insightful and personal YouTube video blogs where he documents his life with Huntington's disease. We welcome yet another of our amazing friends from the other side of the pond to another episode of Help for HD, the HD View, celebrating the advocates. So, Matt and Marie, how are you tonight? Welcome to the show.
It's a lovely introduction. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thank you very much for inviting us.
It's so awesome.
And it's a pleasure to have you guys on our show. And we want to start the show off like we do with all of the Celebrating the Advocates, is to basically have the audience get to know a little bit about you guys. And then, of course, what your connection to Huntington's disease is.
Okay. I live in the UK. I'm 39 years old and married to Marie. We have two children. I'm in the early stages of HD, so I've kind of got mild cognitive and physical symptoms. On the sort of physical side, I have balance problems, coordination problems, a little bit of unpredictability in my movements and things. And in terms of on the cognitive side, you know, I struggle with sort of short-term memory, working set memory problems, coordination, prioritizing, those kinds of things. I had the pre-symptomatic test, so the genetic test, in 2002, which obviously was confirmed. I inherited the condition from my mum, who unfortunately passed away from HD a couple of years ago. On the plus side, I started to find my job a problem. I was a technical architect, kind of an IT consultant, essentially. Are you still there?
Yes, absolutely.
I was starting to find my job, sort of the aspects of the role, quite difficult and becoming more and more challenging for me. So, as a result, I'm technically working full time, I'm convalescing full time. So I'm on a rehabilitation plan with work where I've taken a step out of the workplace, and I don't have any work specific duties at the minute, which gives me time, which was intended to give me time to myself to try and get some medication stabilized.
Absolutely.
And spend time.
Absolutely.
So that's the plus side, I suppose, of the situation. I'm able to spend more time with the family now, and you know, which is what I need to do.
Absolutely. Priorities, right? Family is always priority.
Family first, that's what I say.
Definitely.
Yes. Now, so many within the community, they were very pleasantly surprised to see that someone, meaning you, decided to take something so personal, something that is very difficult to do, and that is to tell your story daily, weekly, how you're living with Huntington's disease, not just in writing or anything, but you took it to the next step. You created an actual video, a video blog on YouTube. And number one, I want to give you props because I know how difficult it is to be on the front side of the camera. I don't prefer that. I prefer being on the back side of the camera. So you really, I will never forget actually first seeing you. I was like, wow, he looks so comfortable. He's doing something that most people do not have the guts to do. And you're doing something that, in all honesty, Matt, you don't have to do. So I want to know, and I know that everybody wants to know, what is the reasoning behind why you decided to publish the video diary about your life with Huntington's? What was one of your, you know, reasons behind that?
Thank you for your kind words there, James. That means a lot to me. It's an interesting sort of project. I mean, it really, it started for sort of personal reasons, I suppose. I the nature of the condition is, as we know, it's progressive and gets sort of worse over time. So I sort of, at the very early stages, I got thinking, I thought I'm going to change. So I wanted to have something that that my family would be able to refer to, be able to basically, you know, see how I was, look back over a period of time and could see how, see how Dad was, as it were, and see when he when he could speak more fluently and move about more freely, and that's kind of how it started. As I started to do it, I realized, there was an extra string to my bow, I suppose, and thinking I thought it was just interesting to document the sort of my changes, how I was changing over time. I mean, that sort of
absolutely.
Okay, here I'm interested. I have a scientific background, I suppose. I guess, and it was that aspect of me, I guess, that sort of curiosity to have something that I could refer to, just to see how things, how things were. And I found while doing that, I was actually found it quite therapeutic as well. It was just nice to be able to get my thoughts down, it was kind of a healthy aspect to actually just getting it out and articulating how I was feeling, the good and the bad, when I was thinking about how best to do this, or I suppose this is, I thought a visual medium was what was needed, rather than just a blog, which was my first thought of having a written blog, because there are many good, great, written blogs out there.
Absolutely.
I thought, because of there's a very, obviously a very characteristic visual aspect to the condition, to HD, because of the chorea, and it's quite striking and makes it very, it stands out a lot from a lot of other even mental illnesses, because you have loved ones who have the condition, you can spot, HD type chorea, it's quite straightforward. So I thought, anyway, because of that, he says, I thought a video blog would be a good way to do it. So that was it. And I found getting my thoughts out, putting my heart on my sleeve, I suppose, I felt it was very therapeutic for me. But it was actually when I started to get feedback from people. I wasn't really, although I was putting something on the internet, but I wasn't really thinking about what other people might think of it. And I started to hear back from people, people saying, we've just found out, or we've just entered the HD world because them or a loved one had been diagnosed or was suspected of having the condition, and they were just, you know, they were doing some Googling and a bit of research, and you know, they'd found my diaries, and they said, you know, that's you know, it strikes a chord with them, or even if it just told them some information about the condition or what it was like for the sufferer, as it were, the patient, to go through those changes, you know, because even in the early stages, you know, the things, the loss of independence, and, you know, I don't have a driving license, and, you know, I had my driving license revoked on medical grounds because of HD, you know, it's being able to explain that and say that, and people think, you know, of saying this is what it's like, you go through that process in life of building up your independence as you grow up, and you get your driving license, and you start to be able to get your own house, look after your own finances, and all those, you know, those things, and that starts to be eroded and taken away from you, and it's not often that people as young as, you know, in the late 30s go through those kinds of things. That tends to happen later on in life, and so
right,
yeah. And people going through James, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. We just have a comment from the chat room. Miss Mary Robertson. Mary, we love you. She's also part of our team. She says, just love Matt. I look at him every day.
Oh, thank you.
I look at him every day. He's gorgeous.
So I kind of, you know, I remember when I was, when I was going through that, when I was just found out about HD, and I found out my mum was, you know, why my mum was poorly, I discovered it was HD. I didn't know anything about it at the time, and I was searching for information at the time, and I found a few bits of info out there, and, you know, there are some things on YouTube, quite a lot of things on YouTube, and, you know, which is a great source of info, and so I found it really helpful myself to hear from other people, because, you know, you realise that, you know, it's a horrible condition and quite complicated, but there are other people in the situation, and I think it makes a big difference, doesn't it, knowing that you're not alone and you're not the only person going through it.
Hey Matt, this is Melissa.
Hi.
Well, first of all, I just want to tell you thank you for doing the blogs. It's very brave, and, you know, anybody who is willing to put their lives under a microscope, so to speak, with a very big lens, or maybe it's a telescope, I don't know, is very brave in my opinion, and it's so much appreciated that you're doing what you're doing, because most of us can't do that. Most of us are very camera shy and very, afraid to step out in faith and put our lives out there. And I think what you're doing is providing a huge service to our community in that, you know, we're getting to experience your life and your feelings and, you know, what you're doing about the condition. And I just really do appreciate you doing this. And
thank you very much. It's lovely to hear that. Thank you.
I have a few questions for you too. And I'm sorry they didn't make it into the script, but I kind of wanted to know, when did you first learn about Huntington's? I know you said your mom had it, but did you know about it growing up, or did you know what it was?
I didn't know. My mum and dad, they'd found, I think it was, my mum inherited the condition from her dad.
Mm.
And it was, and sort of back then, not very much, you know, obviously far less was known about the condition, and mm-hmm. even more so it was sort of hidden away. And my mum's dad didn't have a very good experience, and he ended up being sort of locked away in an institution, kind of thing they did back then. And it transpires that on his death certificate, it said suspected of Huntington's disease. So obviously back then they'd realised that might be something. But My parents had, I think when I was a lad, I think that's when they found out that my mum was at risk. But they, because there was certainly no genetic test at the time, there were very, very limited sort of, you know, treatments for, you know, for any of the symptoms. And I think they, at the time, they decided, well, there's nothing much we can do at this time. And so they weren't, you know, they didn't want to worry us about it. So it wasn't something that was that was told to myself, and I have a sister as well, my sister Emma. Mm-hmm. But what happened was how I sort of became aware. My mum started to become poorly, around about the same sort of age as I have, I suppose, mid-30s. I didn't understand what was going on, but at the time I'd since left home, so I wasn't around all the time. I was in a different city, but I became aware that my mum was getting, every time I would see my parents every few months, I'd realise that my mum was still poorly and still acting strange, and it was the sort of career aspect. Looking back, I know why she was having funny movements and things, and I think my dad and my mum and my dad were, you know, they were having sort of relationship problems. Obviously, they're going through a very difficult time, and it kind of came to around about the early 2000s. It sort of, my dad approached me and said, he came to see me, and he said, he says, I don't need to let you know, your mum's getting is poorly, and this is why we think it's a condition called Huntington's disease. My mum was very much in denial. My mum's looking back, my mum's experience, was her dad was very, very badly treated, and she saw how that happened, and so she became very, and I think she went through a lot of postnatal depression as well, and so she had some bad experiences, sort of medical type experiences. She didn't like hospitals, and I can understand. She probably thought, they were going to lock her up the same way they did her dad. So she suffered terribly, and so because of that basically became sort of denial. As she was becoming more and more symptomatic, I think she was probably, hanging on to the, to her thoughts that,
I think that's pretty common.
She kind of got it. An understandable human reaction, totally understandable. But it meant my mum, I think my dad had tried to persuade her to get even just clinically diagnosed formally for Huntington's disease, just to have a neurologist confirm that that's what she was suffering from. But she resisted seeing specialists and things. So what I had to do is I started looking into the condition to HD and finding out more about it, and that's when I discovered that there was a genetic test which you could get, I was aware that if I had the genetic test and it was confirmed as being positive, not only an unsafe implication on for me, but also that I was diagnosing my mum on her behalf, even though she was clear that she didn't want to, so it put me into a bit of a difficult situation. But I needed to know for family planning reasons and things like that. So I did that.
Well, how did you tell your own family? How did you sit them down, and what did you say to them? And did you tell them you were going to do this video diary or blog?
Hi, Melissa. I'm going to answer this one for Matt.
Hey, Marie.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Marie.
We're going to give you some claps, Marie.
Hey, Marie.
I'll answer this one for Matt. Matt and I met a few years after he had the test that proved he had HD. I was going to get HD. We met in 2007, and Matt was very open with me from at the very near beginning of our relationship, within a couple of months, he'd informed me that, you know, he was going to get PhD. But by then, it was too late for me. I'd already fallen in love with Matt, so it wasn't option to turn
that
away. So,
too.
So, although I'd never heard of Huntington's, I wasn't prepared to walk away. So I knew from the very beginning that this was something that we'd have to face. I'm really glad that I didn't know about Huntington's when he told me, because obviously knowing what I know now, it's very, very frightening. So in a way, I'm quite glad that I was quite blind to it. But yeah, he was very open with me, very honest, and we just took it one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us, Marie, because you're brave too. Very brave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Melissa knows what I'm going to say next, because...
Okay.
and Matt, once again, you're being brave is one thing. And as everyone now is in the community, or if you're listening and you don't know, Matt is part of HelpForHDInternational.org under the WeHaveAFace.org team. Both Marie and Matt will be in the future documentary. They will be interviewed. We're just so excited. But I want to back up the bus, because I remember saying this to Melissa once I started to see your blog at We're telling Melissa, we have to get him. We need him. We need Matt.
We knew right away.
We knew right away. And then when you sent in your video testimony, it just confirmed that, because you and I and the whole team have a lot in common, I should say, that you're not afraid to advocate outside the box. When I saw... And when I listen to you, and then just recently, Marie's blog, when she was walking down that road, I think you were with the dog, Marie. you were so passionate. It was you having your heart on the sleeve. You know, I can't get enough of the fact mm-hmm. that two of you love one another so much that you are willing to tell your story regardless of what anybody cares about. You're going to put it out there. And that is, in my opinion, the type of advocacy that we need every single day, which is hardcore, in your face. Let's kill the stigma by being honest, because if we do not get past it's just a physical disease. No, it's not. It's physical, it's emotional, it's mental, it's psychological, it's financial, it's social. Now, when you joined the project, because I haven't yet asked you this, I wanted to kind of ask you how you felt knowing that this project, what we have created on our end here, was just that, out of the box, unorthodox, you know, doing stuff that most people are not willing to do. How did you feel when I asked you, and what made you want to join in with us? Because we're just so thankful to have you, and I just wanted your take on how you looked at us and why you said yes. Not that you had a choice.
We're so happy and so pleased and just, you know, so honored to be invited to be part of the advocacy team, because we're so similar in our outlook around this. I think there's a lot, so much stigma around mental illness anyway, despite the fact that it affects, you know, so many people. I mean, certainly, what do they say? What sort of one in four people will be affected by a mental illness of some kind? And, you know, as our population increases and gets older and lives longer and healthier, you know, things like dementia and those kinds of neurological conditions become more, you know, more important. And I think the stigma that, you know, results in so much unnecessary pain and you know, with people, with families, people, you know, people not understanding why they're changing or why their loved ones are changing, and it can poison relationships unnecessarily because people aren't aware of what's happening. And, you know, those kinds of, I think it's just so vital that there are these kind of beacons of advocacy who, that are helping, you know, helping explain to people that, you know, the reason why they might, you know, they might be having problems or feeling extra depressed is because they, these are organic biological symptoms of a disease, or, you know, that this, and people shouldn't be, you know, considered to be drunk all the time, you know, because it's
right,
and you know, because of these, all that kind of, all that sort of stuff puts people's minds at ease and, you know, rest. It's so important, but also of providing support networks for people, you know, for patients and their loved ones and their carers, of not just to communicate information about the condition and potential treatments or research, but also, you know, the support, being able to, you know, offer a shoulder to cry on, or to, you know, just to chat and say, you know what, I feel the same, you know, and, you know, I, you know, some days I can't get out of bed. Some days I feel like this, you know, and I think that's so important for people. So it's, you know, I think that general sort of, as you described, James, the mission of, you know, of the documentary, and we have a face and help patients, all the fantastic things that you guys do. I mean, that's, it's so struck a chord with us. I mean, it's just, you know, it's amazing to be brought into the fold.
I think we want to let everyone know that feels that they're alone, they're not alone. It was only about a year or so ago that Matt and I were in a, you know, in a dark place, and we felt we were alone. We didn't know anybody. We didn't talk to anybody. And then, you know, one day I just made a phone call to one person, this one group that I'd heard of, and that was it. It was just support and help from then on. And you know, we're hearing from people who have contacted us saying, oh, this is how I feel, I connect with you, I understand what you're talking about. And I'll say, well, I was there a year ago. You've all come through this stage. It does get better. There is these things. And just knowing that you're helping, you know, 1, 2, 3, 10 people just to get through a hard time is so rewarding for us, isn't it? So rewarding. Mm.
Yeah.
So that's
fantastic.
Great. I'm so proud of that, being advocate. I'm so proud.
Yes, and you know, really, this is all about having no fear at all. Like putting yourself out there, whether it's a video blog or radio or anything that kind of goes outside the norm. It's something you just have to kind of put on your Nikes and say, no fear. You know, I'm going to do this, and I don't really, you know, I care about what other people think or say, but this has to happen. We have to get the word out. We have to tell people, you know, about this disease. And that's how I feel about that. But I totally understand what you're saying about being in a very dark place and not knowing where to go or who to talk to and how to get help. And I was there too with my son when he was diagnosed in 2008. I mean, we had no support group. We had nothing here. And I found a community. I found James. I found all of our regional advocates and you know, our wonderful HD families on Facebook. And, I mean, I've connected with a whole family that maybe we're not related by blood, but we're definitely related by this gene, you know.
Absolutely. And, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And when you can imagine what a group of people that, A, have been, you know, affected, not just the person with HD, you know, I have HD, Matt has HD, but our families with social, financial, the physical aspects, the emotional. When you think about how all of us, who most of us will never meet, let's face it, most, unless one of us wins the lotto, most of us are not going to meet. So if we could do this, if we could get the international community the way we have with all these groups and with this momentum, just imagine what we can do. Once, you know, yes, funding would be awesome. But, you know, we're doing things nowadays that people back 15, 20 years ago couldn't do because of the social network, the technology. Hello, Skype. You're calling in from Skype. I mean, Skype has been an amazing tool that, you know, I feel like, you know, we're brothers and sisters because we've been in this fight together, even though we've never broken bread.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, I was reading, there's a blog, Katie Jackson, she shared, she works with, she's the VP of operations.
Yeah. Yep, she's our VP.
Yeah, she had a great blog post on her new Speak-inspired social network, and I was reading it today, and she was talking about it. She made a statement in there which really resonated with me. She was saying how she, when she was going to sort of HD, talking about HD at various meetings and support meetings, and each time she would go, there'd always be a few people who were, because of things that had happened with the condition on that particular day, you know, extra complications or what have you, they weren't able to attend that specific meeting. And she was saying how she'd felt that, you know, the condition, it was unfair that people, because of a disability, were unable to physically connect with support group, who they probably
and
needed
support,
more than anything.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's this using social media and things like that, you can reach out to people and, you avoid the disability. And it's sort of using technology and clever approaches to basically removing geography and disability and things like that from the equation and enabling that sort of instant communication between like-minded people, the people who need to need to reach out and touch.
Well, I have to tell you that without James, none of this would really be happening because, you know, James is my VP of Media Development and Communications. So without what he's doing, I mean, I would be here with a radio show, but not very many people would know about it.
Oh, my God.
We all kind of work together and we all help each other. And you know, together we are...
I'm trying to get Melissa to move to Florida.
I've been advised to move to Florida with James, my Jimbo. For temperature.
Well, thank you for that, Melissa. But in all truth and fairness, in 2009, when I got my diagnosis after my second oldest brother, I told you in the book that I wrote, the monster came about. You know, when I coined that whole phrase about HD being the monster, it is. And it all comes down to, I believe that we were destined to all work together. I believe that we have to continue because if we stick with the same old, we're going to get the old response, the old outcome.
Right.
So,
hey, James, Mary Robertson just put a comment in the chat room. She says, this is for Marie. After Matt said to you he had HD, did you go and look up HD online and did your heart hit the bottom and then your love for Matt kicked in? That's how it was for me. And for now, we have on the big girl pants. She says, much love to you both.
Oh, well, say hello. And yes, obviously, when Matt told me, I went and looked it up and I found, some websites talking about HD. To be honest, a lot of it that I found was really doom and gloom. And it wasn't pretty. I didn't find any positives for HD, obviously, and it was a very scary thing to look up. But yeah, my love was too strong to make me turn away from that. So it was a case of, okay, how can we get through this? But even then, I mentioned in one of my blogs, I think it was the very first one, I was still in denial. And I didn't know I was in denial for a long time until Matt made me. I remember it like it was yesterday. He made me face it, and I just had a crying fit. And from that moment on, I faced it, and it's been a lot easier facing it. But, yeah, I was still in denial.
We still have crying fits now and then, right? I mean, we.
Yeah,
this
we
is
still
part
have
of it. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Good days, bad days, but yeah, we still have the crying fits, right? Yeah. Hey, James, your mom just made a comment. Are you there? Oh, I lost James there for a minute.
No,
wait,
I'm here. I had to use the house phone. My cell phone decided it wanted to die on me. Sorry about that.
Challenges. Your mom just made a comment. She said, thanks, James, for telling Melissa about moving to Florida.
She would love it here. Soon we're going to have the whole team here. We're going to have Marie. We're going to have Matt. We're going to have everybody move to Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
Love it.
Yep. Goodness.
Technology, got to love it. As we're talking about it, my cell phone dies. Hello.
Hey, Matt, I have a question for you. I noticed on your Facebook pictures you're doing martial arts.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you still involved with that?
Not as much as we were.
It's
something Marie and I, we enjoy tremendously. We took up kickboxing a few
Ooh.
Years ago. We initially started it as a family or something, you know, to do as a family together.
Uh-huh.
So the kids, after a short while, sort of, you know, they lost interest in it. But we kept going, and it was sort of kickboxing. And there's a club, a local club run by a couple who are really nice, and they're very friendly, and we went a couple of times a week, and we even competed in a couple of tournaments, and so it was great fun. And as I've become sort of less able, I've struggled to keep it up as much. My neurologist is always saying that I was kind of reprimanding me and saying that I should be doing it. He says it's great neurophysiotherapy. So we are trying to get back into it, and they're really understanding actually. In fact, they had one of the tournaments they did as a fundraiser for Huntington's disease. So all the proceeds at one of the tournaments that we put on went there. So they're really good. They let me sort of take part in at my own pace when I go there. You know, so it's. It's quite funny, actually. During the sort of warm-up of one particular session, everybody's running around the room, doing a few laps of the gym, and I'm doing my best. I'm sort of tuttering along at sort of an eighth of the speed of everybody else, but doing my best. And, you know, everybody was patting me on my back as they went by and saying hello, and, oh, we haven't seen you in a while, you know, all right, and all that. And so, I still felt included and part of the family.
We realised that Matt's kickboxing competitive days are over and no one wanted to fight against the guy with HD.
Yeah.
I think he was like bad punching me in the head. You know?
You're getting lots of hearts from everybody in the chat room.
Yeah. I think everybody was waiting for this day. And, you know, the one component that I know, Melissa, you'll agree, is having this component that, you know, adding and celebrating the advocates because, you know, Help for HD Radio, as we all know, Melissa has amazing scientists, researchers, foundations that come on, and then the education that we learn, studies and trials, but it's times like this when we can actually sit back and talk and have just our peers together and to celebrate one another. That's what we need more of, and that is why I'm glad that Melissa, you know, openly said, yes, we need to do this and celebrate. You know, of course, we're not going to be able to celebrate everybody, but we're going to do our best.
Well, we're going to try.
Absolutely. And what we do, Matt, when we have the advocates on, we basically ask them to share some of their own wisdom and advice to the Huntington's community because you battle it, HD, every day, just like the rest of us. And if you could give a message of hope or strength, what would you say to the Huntington's community?
It's a good point. I mean,
taking something that I've found very, very rewarding is being honest and open. Very open in terms of telling the entire internet my story. But it's kind of, I've found that I've only ever had positive feedback from that. I was worried about, you know, potentially discrimination, things like that. But I've always tried to be open. So I've been open with my employers and to say these are my limitations and my constraints. Can you please work with me? People have always been encouraging and have always been supportive. And I think that's very important. So I think if people are perhaps weighing up the pros and cons about perhaps revealing more about themselves with people around them or with friends and so forth, then, there's no right or wrong answer for anybody. But, for me, certainly, it's been nothing but a positive experience.
Absolutely.
And in fact, I think in terms of thinking about the development of treatments and, ultimately a cure, hopefully, and make things to relieve symptoms to make life easier and less challenging for everybody at every stage of the condition. I think, sort of supporting the researchers and the scientific programs that are going on, getting involved in clinical trials, potential drugs. I think that, for HD patients as well as controls and so forth, I think that's so important. And it's such a, we need to find statistically significant results in drug trials. We need lots of people participating in these studies. And Ray and I have had to do some weird and wonderful things for some of these research studies. In fact, I'm having a biopsy at the end of the week.
I was just about to ask it. I saw that about the lucky Friday.
Oh, yes.
It's one of the research studies we're in is looking for HD biomarkers in tissues and organs other than the brain. So looking at things like level of the Huntington protein or other sort of biomarkers. So on the basis that, HD is clearly a very complicated condition. It has lots of different effects on lots of different systems. So maybe they're not all associated with the central nervous system, the brain. Maybe they're there are things local to the muscles and things which are interesting. So as part of that sort of general concept and idea, we're involved in a study that is taking a biopsy of muscle tissue from our legs. And indeed, Al, because they told us that the muscle, would you believe? So they said if they anesthetize a muscle, then it would skew the results because it would change the molecular. Tissues would die. Others might die, something like that, which normally under an operation wouldn't be the main concern. But given that they want to measure very delicate and fine levels of molecules in the muscle tissue, in the biopsy tissue, they basically cannot put any anesthetic in the muscle, only in the surrounding sort of fat and the skin and so forth. So it might hurt a little bit.
And I'm assuming you're going to blog about it, right, afterwards?
Live blogging. I don't know if I'll be able to do that. But
because they've got some serious humor issues to throw that on Friday the 13th. What's up with that?
I keep joking with him that he's getting some skin off his leg, but he might come out with just one leg.
So. Oh, goodness. I hope it's not too much of some muscle.
I'm hoping that they were making us more, better warn, make us think it's going to be bad and it turns out not to be so bad rather than the other way around.
Oh, absolutely.
I like that one
Hey,
well,
Marie.
Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
I just want to ask Marie, can you kind of tell us how you are doing? What kind of support systems do you have, and what kind of support systems are you looking for over there?
Oh, okay. Well, I've mentioned one of them already is the Huntington's Disease Association. We have a local group in the area. And luckily, the chairman just lives down the road, I found out. So
oh, wonderful. Within,
yeah, it was fantastic. I could just nip down the road and having a bad day and have a cup of tea. It's great. And,
wow.
And they listen to me. And they help me, and you know, we've been down there, you know, be out with them and have talks, and they've become really good friends, and they are a very good help for me and for Matt. Other people I have, amazingly, we have some fantastic friends over here. I was expecting a lot of people to literally run once they heard about, you know, Huntington's and how much it takes over your life, and we have been absolutely blessed with some really good friends who have been there, always asking about how Matt is, always making sure we're okay, helping us when we need it. So we're very, very lucky. Family-wise, I think it was a bit harder for my family to understand HD. My mum in particular found it hard to get her head around the changes that it can cause to a person's personality. And and she couldn't understand, you know, Matt's a fantastic guy, and that he, you know, things could change in a split second. And when you have your down day, you just want to go and talk to someone and cry, and you know, he's done this and he's done that. And the thing is, they don't understand that these things happen, and they can't help these things that happen. And all you want is the shoulder to cry on. So it took my mum a long time to get her head around that, and just let me go to her and cry. But the support network we have, now that when we, you know, we sort it out, it took a while for me to find the help. And before that, it was very dark, felt very alone. But once I found that port, it's been fantastic. And the dark times aren't as many as they used to be. It's actually really good here. I'm very lucky.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful. We're trying to, you know, trying to get that going here as well. A lot of challenges.
I do hear a lot of people that try to, they talk to me through my blog and, you know, tell me that they're going through the same thing and how hard it is when it's the husband that has the HD because they are the breadwinner, they do all the finances, they look after the family, and to have to turn the tables, and the woman has to do all those things without taking too much away from their husband is a very hard thing to balance. And I have had a lot of people contact me, you know, saying, I've been through the same thing, I understand what you're saying, I'm going through this. And a lot of people are asking, you know, my advice and how I manage things, and it's very rewarding, actually. I feel like I'm helping a lot of people.
There
I think
go.
We have another show idea, James.
Yeah, you read my mind.
And it's Ask Marie show time.
Serious.
It never ends. It just never ends.
We constantly think of everything. You know we have to.
Yes.
And for everyone that's listening out there, we're on three different time zones right now. Melissa's in California, I'm in Florida, and they are in the UK, so it's almost bedtime. It's past bedtime for you guys.
Goodness.
How about we take a break, Melissa?
Okay.
And then we come back and wrap it up so we can let them get to bed.
Okay.
All right, don't anybody go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Be right back, everyone. Welcome back. We're so thankful to Matt and Marie for joining us tonight, Matt and Marie Ward from UK. And we're gonna wrap things up here. I'll let them get to bed. It's almost midnight over there right now. Matt,
it's
Marie, I'm sorry?
I said it's almost 12:30. It's now the next day. We might as well just keep going.
Yeah. Yep, we're going to have them see the new day on the show tonight. So thank you so much. Couple announcements.
Thank you.
Yeah, Marie, thank you for coming on with Matt, too. We've enjoyed you so much, and I think we need to have you back on the show very soon.
We'll be happy to come again. Thank you very much.
I think we lost James, so we'll go ahead and wrap things up. But real quick, announcements. Ask Dr. Goodman, January 7. The HDVU with Jimmy Pollard on the 14th. This is January. Dr. Ben Deverman from Caltech will be on the show January 21st. That's in January. We have two more shows here this month. The Wilderness Kids, Firewood, and Maple Syrup will be on the 17th, and we have a pre-recorded show, HD and Pain Management. Oh, James is back. Hi, James.
Hello. So sorry.
We're having challenges, are we? But James, I know you want to say goodbye to Matt and Marie, so go ahead.
Yes. You know, like we were talking in the screening room, we've got so much in common, and we have so many future goals that we want to work together on, and I am so very thankful, and I have the privilege to having you, Matt, on our team. Marie, you come. You're on our team, too.
Yep.
And we're blessed. We love you guys.
Yes, we love you guys. Thank you so much. So let's wrap it up. We'll conclude the show, and thank you again for spending time with us, you two, Matt and Marie. Thank you, everyone out there in the chat room and live. Come back and listen to the recorded show. Find us on Facebook, and don't forget the free app On the Road, Help for HD. Also available on that app is the original mobile connection to education resources and information about JHD and HD. Good night, everyone. We love you. Have a great week.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.